South American cities are among the most unequal cities in the world, with strong social inequalities and the rampant Gini indexes. For example, wealthy sectors of the population, while commuting to the center of the city, they don't want or they don't like to get out of the car because it's very comfortable for them. And on the other hand, middle-income people that are getting more and more rents that are searching to overcome this stigma of traveling in congestion buses.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the very first things that they do when they have a basic income is to purchase a second-hand car or a Chinese car in order to aspire to a better condition. So what would you say to those people? Because it's something very cultural and very difficult to tackle in cities that to get a better condition, you have to get something
mm-hmm.
like a good,
mm-hmm.
this time, the
mm-hmm.
car.
Well, I think what you have to do, again, is you have to make public transport sexy. You know, it can't be a second-class ticket. You know, it has to be fast, it has to be attractive, and it has to be a service that everybody uses. In New York City, everybody uses the subway. Everybody, you know, we've got almost 7 million people using the subway and bus system. So what I'm trying to do is to design really beautiful, a new beautiful bus system that will function like a surface subway. So you don't need your car. And that's, I think, extremely important, you know, for cities going forward. And I think the other piece that's really important in planning for the future is integrating transportation and land use so that it makes it easy for people to hop on a train or hop on a bus and not have to drive to the station or drive to the bus. And transportation accounts for about a third of the household expense in the country. And so if you can reduce that expense, you know, and that's basically owning a car, if you can reduce the cost of owning a car, all of that money goes back into household pocketbooks. So creating a transit-oriented mm-hmm. community is real dollars and cents for families, and it allows them to take out a larger mortgage, to get a bigger place, to get a more beautiful place. So it's not just theoretical, it's actually dollars and cents. And transportation costs, the further that you live out, the higher the transportation costs are. So in the United States, there are about 3,400 transit stops in the United States right now, and they're building out another 1,000. And what is happening is we're looking at putting transit-oriented development land use patterns around them so that you create livable, walkable, bikeable communities.
Mm.
And actually what we've seen is in the economic downturn, the households that are near transit have held their value much more than the McMansions that are out on the boundaries.
Mm.
And so it's a good economic investment reflecting, I think, the fact that you're seeing people wanting to vote with their pedals and vote with their feet and vote with their transit passes. They want to get around easier. They don't want to spend 2 hours in traffic.
Mm.
And that's, you know, I don't want to spend 2 hours in traffic. I want to go back and see my son and husband,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah.
I think you're starting to see a lot of that and an increased recognition that that's a much better lifestyle. It's healthier for you. It's more economically feasible. And it's better for the community.
Mm, great. Just to finish, and you said that you were like making a sort of comprehensive plan of transport, like for people to have a better condition of life,
mm-hmm.
not spending 2 hours traveling in the city. In Santiago, there has been a new transport system called TransSantiago
mm-hmm.
that it was based on Transmilenio, this project in Bogota, and it was about to change the whole system of the city. But after 2 years, there have been problems with this project. So what is happening now is, like, last month, the Chilean Congress approved a national subsidy for the public transport. It's more or less $3.6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for funding the system until 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So nearly one-third of the funding is aimed to cover the deficit generated by private operators that are using the systems, because they demonstrate in these 2 years that they have the incapacity to run the Santiago Rapid System bus. So to that extent, there's some discussion to nationalize the system.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask you, what do you think about the nationalization of public transport systems? And this is like two questions. If you would be able to place subsidies on the system, where would you place those subsidies?
Well, no public transportation system in the country, except for Hong Kong, in the world.
Singapore, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's Hong Kong is the only one that is profitable. Every public transportation is publicly subsidized everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a surprise. actually what people don't understand is that our road network is subsidized as well. And so once people start to understand that, you know, transportation is really the sort of invisible thread that holds cities together. And you don't really notice, actually, that until it's broken, until there's a transit strike or the buses go down for some reason or the train is down. And then you understand how critical public transit is to a country and to a city. And so I think if you start looking at it that way and you understand, yes, it's a national resource, it's a national investment, it is crucial to the economic development and growth of a city and a country, you put the debate on a very different level. And so because transit is always seen as, you know, begging for money, whereas nobody looks at highways as begging for money, despite the fact that the federal government pays for building highways, you know, we have to recognize as a country that we need a balanced approach. And so we need to invest in public transit, whether it's subsidies or whether we need to invest in our highway and bridge network, which is really important for goods delivery, important investment. And so it needs to be done comprehensively. You don't do one and not the other. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important to invest. However it's done, if it's a subsidy, that's terrific. I think, you know, in New York City, we get about fares cover about 2/3 of the cost of running the system, and the rest is subsidized. So, and it works well. I think that somebody told me once that if you took out the transit system right now, you'd have to build 12 additional bridges into Manhattan alone, which is clearly not going to happen. And so in Santiago, it sounds like they've made a great investment. You know, everybody's looking at what the next financial model is. Mm. And balancing the private sector investment it's always tricky. But it's really important that investment continue. Mm.
It's tricky, and the people start, like, you know, like, comment on this. And they want to get informed. So it's good for us to know, like, other practices and other examples.
Yes.
What do you think, just to finish, of putting subsidies on the fares? Would it increase the public, the use of the public transport? Because some people are saying...
If you offset the fare? Yeah, I think it would probably increase the use, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think we're done. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Great, same here.
Could you just say hello to the team of and the people who read Plataforma Urbana?
Plataforma Urbana, hello.
Thank you very much.